Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of The Stagey Place, or more specifically, episode 2 of season 3. If you're new to The Stagey Place, my name's Elliot Shepherd, I'm a freelance stage manager, and here on the podcast we talk to those who work behind the scenes in the theatre industry. And today we have the amazing Danny Can from Danny With A Camera, a theatre photographer who has taken photos from some of your favourite West End stars and has been incredible in producing work that has been featured on the Playbill website as well as many other news articles around the UK. I really enjoyed talking to Danny a couple of months ago, and we chat a little bit about all of his different projects, as well as the Dear Audience book, which has very limited stock. So if there are any more available, I do recommend you get a copy right now, as a couple of the guests on series 3 this year have featured in that very book. So without further ado, let's get on with the show and chat to Danny Can. Hello, Danny. Welcome to The Stage Place.
Thank you. So cool.
Thanks so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm quite tired, but I'm good. I'm always tired, so it's nothing new. It's nothing weird. But no, I'm good. You?
I'm doing good, thanks. But how can you be tired when you've just come out of quarantine? you've probably slept for the past. How long did you have to quarantine for?
Basically, I had to quarantine for 10 days, but I still did 14 because I was like, you know, I'm just going to do 14. So I quarantined for 14 days and I don't know why I'm tired because I literally had nothing to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's because my sleep pattern is just ridiculous right now, because I can go to sleep at 4 a.m. knowing that I don't have to wake up at 8 or 9 or 10 or whenever.
Yeah.
So it's just ridiculous.
And over your quarantine process, you also restarted some YouTube videos.
I did.
Which I was watching, and they're so great. I love it when theatre creatives do YouTube videos, like lists and top tens and stuff. I think it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you. Thank you. It's fun because, like, I was like, oh, I needed something to do. And then, like, when I moved to London a few years ago, my mom said, oh, maybe you can do something with YouTube and stuff. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe then you can watch it. And then it's still just my mom who's watching. But that's fine. I just like doing it for myself as well, because when I did the top 10s, especially in a time right now when there's not much to do and when life is currently on hold, it was really nice to look back at the things that I had done in the past, and it makes me motivated to go and do things in the future.
And also, like, starting your YouTube also means that, you know, you've got family abroad who probably don't come to UK as much.
No, exactly.
And you did a video about your London life.
Yeah.
And all your highlights and stuff. And obviously that's just great for family to watch and see how you're getting on overseas.
True.
It's great.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. So, Danny, as Danny With A Camera and the Gigi Creative, you've captured concerts such as the Lambert Jackson productions at the Palladium and the Coliseum, right through to West End Live, the drive-ins, Crazy Cox gigs, and the curtain calls for Waitress and Frozen on Broadway, with your photography seen and adored by so many, including myself, which is why it's a real honour to have you on today. And whilst we'll eventually chat about your career working on some of the above productions and touching upon the incredible Dear Audience book, which was released last year in 2020, I want to take a step back and find out what a younger Danny was like and ask you straight away, how did you first find your love for theatre?
Well, first, thank you so much. It's so weird when you say all of that because I'm like, yeah, that's true. So thank you. That's really, really kind and very sweet of you. So I basically can't really remember how it started. The only thing that I remember is that my parents divorced when I was 10 or 11, and then I saw the trailer of The Lion King in the Netherlands on TV, and I said to my mom, oh, I really want to go and see this. And my mom was like, well, you know, I can't afford this because we just went through all of this, so it's not gonna happen. So in the Netherlands you don't have the West End, so you don't have 25 million shows at the same time. You have like one really big show and then two smaller shows touring around the country. And then it was my birthday, and then she got me two tickets for my birthday, so I went to see The Lion King with my mom for my birthday. And I've been to the theater so many times afterwards, but I can still tell you the seats that I had with my mom. So it was like the biggest experience that I had in my life at the time. And then I just said to my mom, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to do this. This is incredible. I want to see this more often, blah, blah, blah. And then The Lion King finished. And I think it was Tarzan the Musical came to the Netherlands in the same theater. Very funny story, actually. So in the Netherlands, you have like one really big brand of the supermarkets, very similar to Tesco's and Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And if you did your groceries in the supermarket there, you could collect points.
Amazing.
And with the points, you got your second ticket for the show for free. So my dad and my stepmom, by the time, used to do that. So I went to see the show with my stepbrother, my stepmom, and my dad. So we went to see Tarzan, and it was literally, it's again, such an incredible experience. And it's like people flying through the theater and I've never seen something like this in my life afterwards. So it was just such a really cool experience. And then my mom with my younger brother got to see the show as well. And then my brother he still is a little monkey. And so my mom was like, well, maybe you can be one of the little Tarzans.
Yeah.
And then I was just so jealous of him that he was going to do something like that. And I wasn't, because I wasn't a little monkey or Tarzan at all. I was just very, very nice, and I didn't climb in trees and all that kind of stuff. So I was just really jealous. But then he applied for audition, and then they said that they didn't need little Tarzans anymore because they were going to close.
Yeah.
But they had auditions for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And then I was just so jealous that he was invited for that. So I applied as well. And the thing is, I can't even sing. But I just was like,
you can lip sync. There's so many people on stage, you can lip sync in that show.
Exactly. That is very true. So I applied to be one of the kids. And then they invited me to come to auditions. And I think there were like 5 or 6 rounds. And I made it to the freaking finals.
What?
But then they were like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. And I can't even sing, so I don't know what I did there. Although I've never told this story to anyone.
Exclusive.
Yeah, very exclusive. They were like, no, sorry, you are too old, so we can't go out with you. And then I didn't get it. Oh. But I still love musical theater. And that's like how it basically started. Then I went to see Mary Poppins. One of my friends in the Netherlands got to see Viro Rakju. So Viro Rakju was in the Netherlands by that time.
Yeah.
And I really loved the girl who played Scaramouche. She joined a Dutch TV show, very similar to Over the Rainbow, but in the Netherlands it was for Evita.
Okay, yeah.
And I really liked watching her on TV, and yeah, she was in Viro Rakju, so I got to see that. And then I loved the show so much. The show didn't do really well in the Netherlands, so tickets were like €20.
Ooh, wow.
And then I went to see it again with another friend, and then I went to see it again, and then I went to see it with my grandma, and then I went to see it with my granddad, because they both loved it so much as well. So that's how I got to see a show a couple of times. And then Wicked came to the Netherlands, and then my whole life changed, because that changed everything. So very long story short, that's how it is.
Yeah, and when you go back to the Netherlands, because obviously you live now in London, but you do sometimes go back to the Netherlands to see family, do you still go and visit theatre there? Or
yeah,
because you see so much theatre in London, is the Netherlands kind of like the break that you get when you go back over to go home?
No, I do go and see things in the Netherlands. Well,
you do.
So like last year, I didn't see any show in the Netherlands because of the whole world.
Yeah.
But the year before, I went to see the Addams Family. Because the same girl who was in Viro Rakju, she was in the Addams Family now as well.
Amazing, yeah.
So I went to see her in there. Actually, funny story about it as well. So like, to make the circle round, is the girl who I was obsessed with when the TV program happened and when Viro Rakju was over, she asked me to photograph her wedding.
Wow.
So I photographed her wedding. So that was a really cool experience. I'm never doing a wedding again, because it was the most ridiculously experience in my life.
Is it ridiculous because everyone's asking for photos, or is it just so manic because yes, there's so much going on that you've tried to capture everything? Or is it quite demanding?
Yeah, there's too much going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, when you are at a show and someone is singing a song, that's still really hard because you have to think of the lights, you have to think of the audience, you have to think of the position, how she stands, you have to think of how she holds the microphone and all that kind of stuff. So there's still a lot going on. But a song is like 3 minutes long. Yeah. But the moment that someone put a ring on someone else's finger is like...
That's one moment.
3 seconds?
Yes.
Exactly. So yeah, you have like 3 seconds to do that. And it's just, oh no, I was the longest day of my life.
Yeah. So I know you spoke briefly, because I remember on one of your YouTube videos that you did at the beginning of the year, you were talking about how you just brought a camera when you were like 14 or 15 and just started taking photos.
Yeah.
So at which point in those early years of experience theatre did you actually pick up a camera and start thinking about it as a career? Because was it something that you were always interested in?
No, absolutely not. No, I also didn't study photography or anything. I just did it because I really liked to do it. So yes, I bought a camera when I was on holiday with my mom and my little brothers. So we went on a holiday to like somewhere in the Netherlands. I just watched like the papers with all the offers for the week. And then one of them was a camera that was like 400 something euro. And I was like, oh, that's great. I'm just going to buy this to make memories. And my mom was like, absolutely not. You're not going to spend so much money for something you don't need. And I was like, mom, it's my own money. So let me do what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
Me as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy. So I bought the camera and then I went to see Wicked for like the millionth time in the Netherlands. Because again, tickets were so cheap. You could see the show for 10 euro.
Wow.
So I basically, I almost went every weekend.
Yeah.
So I went there and then I became closer with the understudy Glinda. She said to me that she really loved playing Glinda and she got to do it like over the whole run, like 50 times, I think, which was ridiculous.
Jeez.
But she said that she was really sad that she didn't really have material of herself. So I said, well, you know, I bought a camera recently, so sure, I just take some pictures of you. Everyone who's listening now, never do this because it's very illegal and no one should do this.
Oh,
but I just took my camera to the show and I took some pictures during the show and she was really happy with them. She was like, oh my God, you are amazing. You're so good. You're so cool in this. You should do this more often.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, maybe I will then.
Yeah.
And then I went with two friends to London for a little trip because Willemijn was over here to play Alphaba in Wicked. She wasn't on when we went to see her, so love that for me. But then also, like years ago, the Olivia Awards used to do a performance at Covent Garden.
Yes, the outside stage performances.
Yes, exactly that one. So we went there and I had my camera in my bag because I just took pictures of London. And then I was like, okay, you know, I'll take some more pictures. And then I took one of Carrie Hope Fletcher in Les Mis.
Yeah.
And she shared it on her social media. And then I was like, that's amazing. She loves my, like someone that big loves my photo to share it on their social media. So I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe I am good in this. So I went to do it more often, more often. Went to West End Live, went to the musical sing-along in the Netherlands, which is the Dutch version of West End Live, a little bit different. Took some photos there and then people just started sharing and sharing and sharing and sharing. Yeah, and that's basically how it started.
I'm just going to jump in here. Hi everyone, I'm Robin from High Top Design and you're probably wondering who I am. Well, I'm a graphic designer with over 10 years experience in corporate communications. I've recently been working with Elliot on the new logo for the Stagey Place and I'm the one responsible for the cartoon versions of his guests. But why am I interrupting the interview? I just wanted to let you guys know that as well as podcast artwork, I can help with lots of other things. Design projects, CVs, photo restorations, websites, magazines, posters, programs, anything like that, just give me a shout. Honestly, no job is too big or too small, and I will work with you to make sure the end result looks awesome. Don't need anything designed? No worries at all. I know you love theatre as you're listening to this podcast, so you'll probably like my range of musical theatre prints and badges. I also have a cute range of mushroom pride pins, or I can make you and your family and friends into cartoon versions like the guests of this show. You can find all this and much more on my website, hightop.design, or give me a like and a follow on Instagram and Facebook. I'm hightopdesign on those as well. Anyway, thanks guys. I will now let you get back to the show.
And then before I moved here, I got to know Celinda. Celinda Schoenmaker, who's Dutch as well. She was in Famous.
Yes.
And when I finished my high school, then like literally everyone in my whole class went to Albufeira and Portugal and like Italy and all these kind of countries to like drink, just
have
like
yeah.
have the best night of your lives. I didn't do that because that's nothing for me. So me and one of my best friends from the Netherlands, we went to London for a week and we just got to see 8 or 9 shows or whatever it was. And one of them was Les Mis and Celinda was in Les Mis at the time. And then afterwards, we just wanted to say hi because she always tweeted and she was like, oh yeah, come and say hi if you're Dutch, blah, blah, blah. So
nice,
we just went to say hi afterwards. We had like such a long chat and I was like, you have no idea who I am, but that's so nice. So we had like a really long chat and then she did another show in the Netherlands and then we just started talking and chatting and stuff. And then when she got to do Phantom of the Opera here in London, she asked me one day to just come backstage and just like watch the theater backstage, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, next time when we do this, should I just bring my camera just for a joke? Because I was like, oh, just next time, let's do this. And then we took some photos backstage in her dressing room. From that moment onwards, it like really started opening doors and like from that moment, people really started to know who I am here in London and started sharing my work. And yeah, that's crazy.
And I think that really sets you apart from other photographers, having that chance to be able to go backstage and photography the backstage areas, like you say, the dressing rooms, because it's a really intimate moment with you and the performer. I know that you said on one of your YouTube videos that that's something that you'd love to get back to, obviously.
Yeah, I love it so much.
Coronavirus thing, you can't go backstage. But that must feel so lovely, that just a boy that was in the Netherlands who came over to just take some photos, just on the whim, just kept asking people, just, you know, and talking to people and talking to Celinda and getting these photos out and getting your photos shared. Like you say, it really does open doors. And it's that generosity of those performers allowing you to go backstage and take photos of them.
No, 100%. If she didn't do that, the thing is, I don't know, but I probably wouldn't have been where I am right now, because she was my only way in at the time. So it's just like, it's just really nice, yeah.
And it does actually move over to my next question, because I was going to ask you, throughout your whole career, have you ever had any pinch me moments when you've worked and captured unique moments in the West End or around London? Because I've heard you talk about before, like we've just said, the dressing room photos pre-COVID. And that's something that blows your mind, that you can get so close up and personal. So is there any other pinch me moments that you have throughout your career?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Like almost the thing Loads. Is almost everything that I do is like, oh, I really appreciate that people ask me to be a part of it and do that. But I think some things that comes to mind is Jason Robert Brown at the Palladium was such a big event and was such a big step for me as well, and just was such an experience.
Yeah.
I still think of that day almost every day of my life, because it was just such a big thing. But also recently, the photo shoot that I got to do with Louise Dearman and Rachel Tucker in Louise's house for their Christmas concert was like,
oh yeah,
if you told
now that is intimate,
if you
it?
Told like 14-year-old Danny that would happen,
that's a home address.
Yeah, that was like ridiculous. But also like being a part of the whole Songs for a New World thing that happened last year in lockdown 1 or 2, that was like such a big thing as well, to be there from the start till what it is right now. That was really cool. The last West End Live, I was invited to be in the photography area.
Amazing.
So normally what I used to do for West End Live was that I was there at like 4 a.m and waited until I could go in, and then I'd run to have like a place in front, because if you are further away in the back, it's really annoying when you have like such a big lens and you are like touching
other
people.
People's heads, and you're knocking people.
Yeah, exactly. So I always try to be there at the front, and I didn't really mind going there and waiting at 4 a.m. to have like that space, which is like a part of the whole experience. But last year, the last time they invited me, that's such a compliment, because not a lot of people are in there. So that's really cool.
Yeah. I was going to mention that you also put it in your video. I'm going to keep going back to these videos, because there was one where you got to take photos of the Phantom of the Opera, but actually it looked like promotional shots.
Oh,
like
yeah,
shots of it actually going on stage. That looked amazing.
Yeah, in Greece. So I think 2 years ago now. So basically, I have a really love-hate relationship with Phantom of the Opera. So the Phantom of the Opera team, like the PR team and the marketing, I don't think they really like me, because I take the pictures backstage. No, I won't say that. But so like the backstage photos that I did, apparently, but I didn't know that, I wasn't really allowed to do that and share them everywhere where I wanted to. But I didn't know that on beforehand, because what happened after I took the photos with Celinda, so many people from the cast messaged me and were like, oh, do you want to take some pics with me as well? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So then I was backstage as Phantom for like, well, every week for like 2 months in a row or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I took so many pictures there, and apparently I wasn't allowed to do that, but I didn't know that. So like, that's the hate ship. But the love part of it is that I became closer with so many people from the cast, and I got to know so many people from the cast, which is amazing. And then the understudy from Christine from 2 years ago, Amy, she is Australian. I did a photo shoot with her backstage. And then this year, well, 2020 year, in Greece, they opened the new production of Phantom of the Opera with a new set design, new costumes. The story and the songs are exactly the same. It's just a whole new set design. And it's beautiful. It's like, it's
great.
Insane.
Yeah,
costumes are incredible. So I went there because Celinda was Christine and Amy was Christine. So I knew both of them. So I was like, it's great. It doesn't matter who I see. Yeah. They're both amazing. So it's great. And then I went there with two of my friends. We went to see the show on one day. And then afterwards, we went for drinks with some people from the cast. And then Ben, who played Phantom, Ben Forster, he was there as well. And he was like, Denny, do you want to come back and just take some photos? And I said, well, yes, of course. And I said, well, yeah, let me know what kind of backstage photos you want. And he was like, no, I meant actually photos during the show. And I said, but you already have like show photos. So how are you going to fix this? And he said, well, just let me call the producers tomorrow. And then the next morning he texted me and he was like, okay, well, you can come in. So I asked him in the evening and I said, how did you freaking do this? How did you just like, as Phantom of the Opera, be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just going to get an own photographer in and let him take photos during the show. And he said, well, you know, I asked them. And then they were like, well, we already have the pics. And then Ben said, no, I want him to take photos. And then they were like, okay, yeah, fine, go for it. Yeah, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's literally ridiculous. But yeah, so then I got to photograph the whole show, which was great that I already saw it the night before because I exactly knew what was going to happen. It was like such a cool experience. Yeah. So I sat there on the front row, centered in the front row, and I was too scared to walk around because there were still like more than 1,000 people in the audience. So I just felt scared to walk around and just like do my own thing. So I just sat on my chair and then I just took the photos all the time. But I had like this key cord and stuff and the whole team like front of house knew who I was. So I just sat chilling there in my stool, but I still felt very uncomfortable because no one in the audience knew that I was allowed to do that. Yeah. So whenever I took my camera, I was like, oh, people will be like, what is he doing? What is he doing? He's not allowed to do this. So it was this very weird experience, but so crazy and I like unbelievable.
And so after all of that, then you've had so many highs, but there must have been some challenges throughout being a creative. So what to you has been some of your biggest challenges that you've overcome since starting photography?
So I literally, it's very funny because I literally, so as I said, I couldn't sleep yesterday. So I was messaging one of my friends, Jake, and he is a videographer. Okay. It's a very funny story about how I met him because basically everyone thinks that I'm such a professional,
right?
But I'm such an amateur. So I said to him, I was thinking about doing a YouTube video and then tell all the mistakes and all the things that I struggled with over the past years, because people always think that everything goes really well.
Yeah.
But like, I am literally the most stupid person in the world.
Oh, no.
And I've made so many mistakes. And he was like, no, Danny, don't make a video because no one is going to hire you anymore. So basically, I will give you...
Just give me some three. Of the less embarrassing ones.
Okay, so the first... So how I met Jake was Natalie Wise did a concert at the Leicester Square Theatre. And I messaged her if I could take some photos. And she says yes. So I was there to take the photos. And he was there to take the videos. I had no idea who he was. So I was there and like the whole event happened. And then halfway through the event, my battery died.
Oh.
So I just didn't have battery anymore. And it was only halfway through the concert, which is normally fine because I could just enjoy the show then and don't take pics anymore. But none of the guest artists has been on yet. So I need to take, because I couldn't be like, oh, I don't have pics of the guest artists because all of them are bad or whatever, because they still would like to see some then. And I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? And this is like 4 or 5 years ago, before I even lived here.
Okay.
And my English was disgusting. So my English only improved since I moved here. So I just was like, how am I gonna do this? I'm so nervous, I'm so stressed. I already was really stressed for the fact that I was there and all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, I need to do something, I need to do something, I need to do something. And I didn't even know how to ask in English if I could use someone's battery.
Yeah.
So I went to him during the concert and I literally was like, hi, do you have a Canon? And then he was like, yeah, why? And I said, do you have a spare battery? And he didn't understand what I said. So I asked him again, do you have a spare battery? And he didn't again understand what I said. And then I said, battery. And then he said, oh, do you need a battery? And I said, yes, please. And then he gave me a battery so then I could finish the show.
Yeah.
So he saved my life there. So that's how I met Jake. But also, I had one concert, and that was like in the month that I moved here. I had a concert of Rachel Tucker, and by then, she had no idea who I was. So it was just a really weird, like, she said yes, but she had no idea who I was. Like, now she knows who I am, but by then, she didn't know who I was. So I got myself the job again. So I just messaged her, and I was like, because it was a charity concert. So I messaged her, and I was like, well, if you need some photographs, then let me know. I would love to come and help you out. So I did that. And as soon as I was on my way, I already was late, but as soon as I was on my way, I was like, okay, all fine, camera here. So I wanted to delete the photos from my memory card. Yeah. But my camera didn't turn on. And I was like, oh, you're not gonna... And then I saw that I forgot my battery at home. So my battery was still charging at home. No. So I was like, love this, here we go. But I had the little G7X camera because by the time I vlogged my life...
Yeah.
So I had my G7X camera with me. I've never told her this story, so I hope she's not going to listen to this. But I had this G7X with me in my jacket. So I, like, the whole night, I pretended I was taking photos with my big camera. And I wasn't because the camera didn't turn on.
And it wasn't turned on.
And then sometimes I just used, like, the G7X and I just took a few pictures. But the whole night, yeah. I just pretended to be... And I just, the only thing I could think of was, like, don't let me come on stage and take a picture of you with the crowd. Don't let me do this. Don't let me do this. And in the end, it didn't happen. So at least that was great. So yes, that happened. I've also deleted loads of my pics that I hadn't edited yet.
Oh.
I also dropped my lens on the floor, so my lens broke.
Yeah.
Oh, I forget loads of things. I can bring, like, the whole wrong lens to a photo shoot, or I can be somewhere very late.
Yeah.
Or... forget my battery again. Like, the fact I have 7 batteries in my bag now.
Yeah.
Just because I never want this to happen again. But I have 7 batteries in my bag. I forgot memory cards, so I had to go into a store and buy memory cards.
That.
And then, like, for some photo shoots, I make, like, £75. When I moved, I started really cheap, so I made, like, £75. Then I forgot my memory card. And then I had to buy a memory card for £60, so I basically didn't make anything. Also, another story is that there was one day that I will never forget, and that was when I got to photograph Julie Andrews.
Oh, no. The Julie Andrews.
Yeah, the one from... Yes, yeah. Exactly.
The legend.
Yes, exactly. The queen of everything.
The queen,
So I was there, and then as soon as I came there, they said, okay, you have 10 minutes from the start... till the first 10 minutes, and then you have to go. You have to edit all of your pics, and then as soon as the interval starts, you have to show all the pics because they have to approve them, and then they have to go out to the press.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, love that I will be in the building when they check my pics, because I hate when it happens.
Yeah.
I already hate it when I do a photo shoot and someone is like, oh, can I please see it? I'm like, no.
No,
I hate when that happens. But it was fine. I did the first 10 minutes. I edited the pics, and then she and her manager came over and they, like, checked all of them. So they approved some. They didn't approve others, which was fine. Like, that always happens.
Yeah.
Then I just was like, oh my God, this just happened. I don't know. And I just walked out. And then I realized that my MacBook charger was still in the room because I had no battery on my laptop, of course.
Oh, and you had to leave. You couldn't go back.
I realized that as soon as I left the theater.
Okay, right.
And then I called them and they were like, no, we have a really big event. You can't come back in, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day I came back and my charger was gone. So Julie Andrews stole my MacBook charger.
Wow, that is going on the Stage website. That is a new article going out.
Yes, and that's the tea.
That is the tea. Do you know what, Julie Andrews, if you're listening out there, just fess up, right?
Yeah, but send me my charger back, please, because I had to pay £100 for a new MacBook charger.
Oh God, that is not what you wanted. But that is a great, great story.
Yeah, it is funny.
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm the proud owner of Your Little Theatre. Your Little Theatre is your new place to find pre-loved theatre plays at affordable prices. But we don't just stop there, we also match you with some ace small businesses. Kick back and relax with our Blind Date with a Play, where you receive a mystery theatre play for only £5, or treat yourself even more and get any of our mystery boxes, which all include at least one theatre play or musical theatre score, plus some trinkets from our ace partners of small businesses, who include Hello You Handmade Co., Little Box Studios, Lucky Pup, Baking Bice Boobs, Luna and the Elephant, Geek Sheet Gifts, A Hella Load of Quirky, Tom Kofed, Totalist Graphics, The Harmony Hub, and Stagey Prints, plus so many more. Thank you so much, Stagey Place, for giving us this opportunity. And remember to use code Stagey Place for 10% off on our website, www.yourlittletheatre.com. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
You were just talking there about not liking people watch you edit, or not liking people, you know, seeing the photos before you've edited them. This was something that when we did the Dear Audience photo shoot that you felt a lot more comfortable in, because we were looking at the variations of the shots that you had taken when we had our photo shoot in October. And this obviously leads straight on into my next question, because I wanted to ask you about the book itself, because you and Sophie Ross created the book last year, and you also went to Birmingham just to start the preparation, start the brainstorming, which is also on your YouTube channel. I think I've probably mentioned all your YouTube videos now that you've done.
I think you did, yes.
So it was created last year, and it's essentially this beautifully designed coffee table book that's hosted over 140 portraits of theatre creatives, either on stage or behind the scenes. Now, the second and final batch has been released and orders are flying off the shelves. Now the project has kind of come full circle and you're releasing this final batch of books. What's really stuck with you from this incredible project, whether or not that's a positive or a negative?
I mean, negative, never again. Positive, it was the best project of my life.
Is it negative because of the climate that we're in and the production of it, or was it the manicness of it?
No, I think the fact that when I want to do something, well, this really is not in line with all the things that I said before, with all the things that I forgot and all the amateur things. But if I do something, I want to do it perfect, especially with like a project like this. So I want to, if I have something in my head, I want to happen it like that. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to be like, oh yeah, you know, I will just do it on a smaller scale. If I have something in my mind and I want to do it with 140 people, I want to do it with 140 people, and then I don't take a no with like, oh, we do it with 100. So I want it to be that what I have in my mind, and I want it to be the best it can be at the time.
Absolutely.
So like it was so much work. So literally never again, because I mean, I'm probably I will do it again, but with more people, more hands of people, because we had to do everything with just the two of us, which was really cool. Yeah. And a really cool experience, but it was great that it was literally the best experience of my life. So I had the best time doing it. My sleep is still recovering from the time I had there.
Of course.
Because it was just, it was ridiculous. I didn't sleep for weeks. I had so much work to do. But also, before, you had to be in lockdown from like March onwards till, when was it?
August.
And then things started to happen. Yeah. So you got to see people and like life became closer to normal. Yeah. But you also had like still so many days at home. And then out of nothing, when we started this whole thing, we saw people like 6 days in the week. So you had to be so socialized and so happy and so positive all the time. So your body really had to recover from like just being grumpy in your house to being so happy and optimistic to everyone from 10 in the morning till 10 in the evening. So it was just like, it was so much work, but so much fun. It was the best project of my life.
And you spoke about the story about it on your YouTube channel. I feel like in this episode, everyone's going to have to drink every time I say YouTube channel. But
because they will be drunk.
But you were talking about how you just spoke to some people on their social media just by sending voice notes, people that you'd never really spoken to before or ever worked with before. Me and you, Danny, we'd never worked before. I just got in touch because you put something out on your Instagram and I was like, I want to get involved in this, whatever it is.
What did you think when I sent you a voice note?
First of all, I was like, oh my God, I've actually heard back. I was like, how's this happening? Aww. And then you sent me about, I think it was two or three voice notes when you were trying to get everything in. And then I was like, God, he's going to be working so hard to get so many people in. And obviously you didn't really say too much about it in that first voice note. You were just like, we're going to do these photo shoots for a big project. You know, let me know if you still want to be involved. And I was like, yes. And then we managed to get it done pretty soon afterwards in the...
Yeah, I think like in the same week.
Yeah, it was really fast paced. But then I've just loved watching the whole inception of the book and how, you know, the social media posts that have gone out and stuff. Like, it just looks so beautiful. And obviously the book itself, when it arrived and it came in that nice, I think I had like a gold, material with the sticker on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, this is so cool. And then just reading through it, and obviously there are letters from performers.
Yeah, there are some letters in there as well.
Which are also fantastic and really emotional, and they're kind of in the middle of the book.
Yeah, they're really emotional. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even the pages, just the feel of it all, it's so well done and so well put together. And also,
thank you.
What's really lovely to see also, and like you've said before about not working with some people in the book, it really does go around all areas of the theatre, because you do have your front of house, you have your marketing, you have your lighting designers, stage managers, you know, your performers, your video designers. Like, it really does capture the whole essence of what theatre is like in the community.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We really did our best to find everything.
Yeah.
But also, it wasn't really that hard, because we have both worked in the industry for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So, but like, I have seen so many different people photographing everywhere. Like, I've met lighting designers, I've met stage managers, I've met costume designers when I was backstage for backstage photo shoots. So, like, I just really tried, because these people are just like jobs for people. Like, so when someone comes to a theater, it's just like, oh yeah, my dresser did that, or oh yeah, the lighting designer. But I really want to make a face behind that
Absolutely.
person. And that's basically what happened with my Instagram years ago. So before, like, I really showed my face on my Then You Have a Camera account, yeah, I just only started sharing my portfolio work. And then some people were like, oh, so you are Danny with a Camera. Yes. It's so nice to have a face with the brand. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, that's so interesting and so cool. So that's why I started sharing more of my life on there as well, because I was like, people want to know who is the face
Absolutely.
Behind a job or behind a profile or behind a brand. That's what I really wanted to do with the book. I wanted to showcase that it's not just the performers,
no,
even like it's everyone in the whole building. And I hope that works.
It definitely does. And like I say, it's a beautiful book. And by the time this episode's gone out, I think probably everything will have sold out. But for those who are listening who have the book, they know how special the book is and how amazing it's been produced. So well done to you and
thank
to Sophie.
You.
And again, if you want to,
yeah, and to
see
Sophie,
more
yes,
about
you.
The book, then you can look at Danny's YouTube channel. He talks all about the story and he's even documented him going to Birmingham and him going to the McDonald's that's
no,
next door.
That was basically just exactly. That was just the most stupid trip we've ever done, because we went there with the mood like, oh yeah, we have 3 days. We're going to brainstorm the whole project. We're going to have so many to-dos afterwards. Well, we went there, and then the first day we didn't do anything because we had work to do for other clients. So we just worked. But it was nice to be together in one room. So we had like the whole wall with stickers, and then we put names yeah. from the people who we would like to have involved on there. And we had locations, and then we had like location wall and then people wall. And then we moved the people to where we wanted to photograph them.
Yeah.
And that's literally all we've done there. And then we went shopping and then we went for dinner again. And then the next day we went shopping again. And we just left. So literally, it was like a really cool story. Oh yeah, we're going to Birmingham to brainstorm this whole thing. But we didn't really do much.
Going into my next question, I'm going to be asking you about advice that you give to a creative photographer and what advice that would be. So is it a certain product that you recommend for beginners, or is there some software which you'd highly consider? Like, what's your number one tip for people who want to get into creative photography, in especially looking at the theatre industry?
What I always recommend is, the nicest thing of it is, first of all, try to go to free events like West End Live
okay.
or yeah. other like big events that are where you are allowed to take photos, because it's just a great opportunity to do that kind of things and then share them on social media, because the
yeah.
performers, they love photos in general. It doesn't matter like how good you are, if you are a professional or if you are not, or if it's your first picture you've ever taken or your million. Performers just love pictures.
Yeah.
So they will share your work anyway, and that will give you a positive boost, because it means that your work is recognized by someone you admire or someone you really like.
Absolutely.
Or go to shows like Six or Waitress or Anne Juliet, where you're allowed to take photos during the curtain call,
yeah.
because that's what really helps, and it really helps you with capturing a certain moment because they are moving, they are having fun, they are enjoying, they are living their best lives during the curtain call. There's lighting design, there's set design. So there are so many different things where you can play around with. And it's just a free option. Well, you have to buy a ticket for the show, but you watch the show and then you have for free the opportunity to take photos. So I always recommend doing that kind of things to start with. And then people will recognize what you do and what your style is, and you can really work on it. And then editing wise, what I did is I didn't study photography, or I didn't do a training or anything. I did a 1 day workshop that my mom gave me for my birthday, like years ago, where I literally learned how to turn on the camera and what ISO is and what your aperture is and like the basic stuff. But what I did is I watched so many YouTube videos. So if I wanted to know how to change the light from yellow till blue, or if I wanted to know how to Photoshop a microphone stand out of someone's body, I YouTubed how to do that. So I just used YouTube so much to grow and to learn skills. And that's what I really used to.
Yeah. Forget about doing a degree at university, guys. That's it. That is the millennials' answer to a degree.
No, I think a degree is still the best thing. But if you don't want to do it, like I never thought I was going to do photography as my main job. And I still think that if I don't have the because I love marketing so much, and I graduated in marketing. And I think that if I just do photography as a full-time job, as in my main income source and like nothing next to it, I think I wouldn't enjoy it that much anymore as if I do it like now. It's not that it's on the side. I think still my work is 70% photography and 30% marketing. But I think if it's going to be 100, I don't think I'm going to enjoy the photography part that much as that I do now, because then you have to. And now I just do the things that I really like. And of course, there are some photo shoots where I was like, oh, do I really have to do this? Or, oh, this wasn't what I expected from it. But that always happens. And there are always things that like that.
And like you say, it's just about getting out there and just taking your first shot, because everybody will just be so appreciative of the work that you create.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like look at Six the Musical. So there are like so many people who are bringing their camera to the Mega Mix and then sharing it on social. And like literally as soon as like normal life is there and the Six show is finished and you click through Instagram stories, all of the girls who were on that night are sharing pictures. And that's just like because they love having that.
I went to go and see Six when it was on tour, and we have like three tiers here in Cheltenham. And I was in the circle, so I was one tier up from the stalls. And around me were a lot of middle-aged people that I don't think had ever seen the show before. And so I remember my phone was off throughout the whole performance. So, and then I turned it on. I went down like this. I turned it on. And I was like, right, I'm going to get ready to like put my phone up and record the Mega Six. And throughout the whole time that I had my phone up, I just froze. And I was just like, do not look around you. Do not look at people who may be looking at you. Just keep your phone there. And the footage of it actually is a little bit shaky, but it's just because nobody else around me in the circle had their phones out or anything.
Really?
I think nobody knew what the show was like. Some people in the stalls, you know, people in the front row of the stalls, they knew, you know, there was some people.
Yeah, of course they knew what
some
it was.
Some people who were, you know, following that tour around. We had Bryony on last year, Bryony Cherry.
I listened to that one.
Yeah, she was talking about being in Cheltenham, and I was in one of her vlogs.
Oh, really?
And so I think I may have mentioned the story to her then as well, but yeah, it was just like, I just froze because nobody else around me was taking photos or taking videos.
That's so funny. But now everyone is doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and hopefully the next time it tours, there'll be more people around me taking videos, so I feel more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Danny, that's nearly all we have time for today, but I've got one final question for you. I know, I've really enjoyed this chat. One final question that I have for you today, and it's what kind of rounds off the whole of the Stage Place podcast. And it's something that, like I say, has held the podcast together, because I love asking my guests where their stagey place may be. So this could be your local theatre that first inspired your love for theatre, whether or not that's over in the Netherlands, or your favourite venue that is home to your favourite show, or in your case, a venue which you've loved working in and capturing productions from. So Danny, my final question for you today is, where is your stagey place?
That's such a good question. But I think I have to go for the Apollo Victoria.
Wicked
is.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's really started my love for London.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, I was, and I still am, obsessed with Wicked the Musical. So when I was in the Netherlands, and when I wasn't allowed, when my mom didn't allow me. I talk a lot about my mom in this podcast. I hope she listens.
Yeah, hey, mom.
When she didn't allow me to, because I was 14 or 15 years old, and I was depressed that I couldn't go to Rachel Tucker's last show in Wicked.
Of course.
She didn't allow me to because I was 14 or 15. So fair enough, mom. So I literally, I stayed up and I listened to her last Divine Gravity on YouTube. Again, very illegal, but I did. And I did, like, that's how my love for Wicked in London really started, because she was incredible. And then I went with school to London, and they always went to see Wicked. Every year they went to see Wicked. And then we went, and we didn't.
Oh, what?
Yeah, exactly. So what? I was really depressed. We went to see We Rock You, which was still incredible and amazing. Okay. But, like, I wanted to see Wicked.
Yeah.
And then when I decided to go with my first trip, so, like, my graduation trip with my friend, the first show we booked was Wicked. And I had Louise Dearman as Elphaba. And literally, it was incredible. And as soon as I walked in the theater, I was like, this is insane, and this is gorgeous, and this is beautiful.
I mean, you've got the massive dragon that overlooks, like, it's a pretty big spectacle.
Yeah, it's just the whole building and the theater is so big, and I've seen now so many shows there, and it's always when I walk in there, like, I've taken my friends to the show, so, like, it's always such, like, a special feeling walking into the theater. When my mom and my grandma and my little brother came over to London, we went to see Wicked as well. It's so beautiful, and I love it so much. So the theater is just such a nice feeling, a nice vibe in there. So I think I have to go for that one.
Go for it. And will Wicked be one of the first shows that you go and see once theaters are back open?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, on day one.
Day one.
I will be there on day one. Because the thing is, I haven't even seen the new cast yet. So also have to go, because I have to see them. It's just my favorite, all-time favorite show, and I can't wait. I will day seat there. So I will cancel my work. Well, there is no work at the moment, but I will cancel my work for the day, and I will literally be there at 4 a.m. in the morning to get my tickets and see the show.
Amazing. Well, Danny, that's incredible, and I've loved everything that we've chatted about in today's episode, but sadly I think that's all we've got time for. Danny, thank you so much. If people want to catch you on social media, whereabouts can we find you?
So it's on at Danny_with_a_camera.
Amazing, we'll put that all out.
Legend, go for it.
Danny, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And there we have it, folks. That was episode 2 of season 3 of The Stagey Place with today's guest, Danny Can. And as you just mentioned there, you can follow him on Instagram at Danny_with_a_camera, as well as Danny's Theatre Life and Dear Audience 2020 for the Dear Audience book. That's all for today. My name's been Elliot Shepherd. Next week, we'll be joined by Amber Savar, who is a theatre maker. But until then, if you've enjoyed yourself, do let us know on social media. You can follow us at The Stagey Place on Instagram and Twitter. And until next week, I hope you are keeping safe, and I look forward to hear from you soon.